Before we get into this episode, we'd like to tell you how you can help solve cold cases and help identify Jane and John Doe's at DNASolves.com. In November of 2001, in Johnson County, Texas, a resident was picking up cans on the side of Briar Oaks Road. He was shocked when he came upon a jacket that wrapped around the decomposing remains of a newborn baby. The Johnson County Sheriff's Office was dispatched to the scene, and it was determined that the infant had died as the result of foul play. Though tips and leads have surfaced since the discovery, none have panned out, and the identity of the newborn remains a mystery. The infant was named Angel Baby Doe. Just this year, 2021, Johnson County authorities teamed up with Othram Incorporated in hopes to identify the child. Othram specializes in the recovery, enrichment, and analysis of human DNA from trace quantities of degraded or contaminated forensic evidence. If anyone can find out who Angel Baby Doe is, Othram can, but the work on the case needs funding. That's where you can help. At Othram's website, DNASolves.com, you'll find a crowdfunding campaign for Angel Baby Doe and several others that need the public's help. These are cases that the law enforcement agency handling them do not have the funds to perform testing. If you'd like to be a part of that, please go to DNASolves.com and choose a case to help, or help them all if you want. Also, you can upload your DNA data from a consumer testing company, think Ancestry.com or 23andMe.com, to DNASolves.com's database. Your data there is used only in law enforcement investigations. As always, we'll provide a link in the show notes. Thanks in advance for the help, y'all. Now, onto the episode.
The Gone Cold podcast may contain violent or graphic subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
There's little information out there about the disappearance of 39-year-old mother of two and Crowley, Texas resident Cynthia Baugh Touré. In fact, we'd have only been able to put together a 5-minute episode on her if it weren't for the missing woman's friends, who are trying desperately to find answers, and, of course, Cynthia. As soon as Cynthia went missing, several of her friends in both Texas and Nebraska got together and began trying to figure out what happened to their beloved friend. Cynthia's close friend Brandy contacted us a while back.
You know, like when we first started getting together, we were just getting together talking about the last time we spoke to her. In the beginning, it was only me, Andrea, Jeanette, and Unique. You know, we were all on the phone together, all of us. And we were trying to figure out, where did Cynthia say she was going? Who did Cynthia say she was meeting with? Does anybody know anything? Does anybody know how to get a hold of her, you know, her dad or her mom, her sister? We were trying to figure out things like that. We were trying to put just, you know, the best we can two and two together. We were all sad. We were definitely all sad. And we started encouraging each other just to, you know, keep your head up and let's continue to focus on finding her and bringing her back home. So that was really a lot of our conversations were just, what was your last conversation with her like? Oh, you know, does anybody remember this person, a friend that she had mentioned? Just different conversations, trying to piece whatever pieces of the puzzle we can together.
Cynthia's friends have been trying to spread the word of her disappearance for months now. The group even spoke with the Crowley PD detective in charge of Cynthia's case, though the detective wasn't able to disclose much of the information he'd gathered concerning Cynthia's disappearance. He was able to squash at least one rumor. Thanks to Cynthia Baugh Touré's friends, we're not only able to provide a relatively detailed account of the missing woman's last known movements, but we can also provide details of the person Cynthia is and what was going on in her life when she vanished earlier this year, 2021, without so much as a trace.
Cynthia used to live here where I am at, which is in Omaha, Nebraska. We used to go to a church called Christ Cathedral together. And that's how we met, at Christ Cathedral, at church. And her son is close to the age of my daughter. So when she would have birthday parties for her son, we would go. And we just developed a friendship from there. We started talking on the phone more. At that time, we were both young single mothers, so we connected on that level, as well as being in the same church. Very good friends. She is there for you whenever you need her, non-judgmental. So I used to talk to her about a lot of personal things, as she would I. We confided in each other a lot. She was one of those where her and I would get on the phone and easily 2 or 3 hours talking. She loved to talk about the Bible. She loved to talk about God. She was my go-to if I didn't understand a scripture. Or if I wanted to talk about a scripture, she was my go-to because I loved the way she explained it. And I was able to really understand it the way she would explain it. And then like our friendship just really developed.
That was Brandy describing how she met and instantly bonded with Cynthia Martina Ba-Toure, who was Cynthia Alvoid when they met. Even when Cynthia moved to Texas in 2007, she and Brandy stayed in touch. But as Cynthia did everywhere she went, she made plenty of friends fast in the Lone Star State, including Andrea.
So she's a substitute teacher, and my dad is also a substitute teacher. My dad is from Liberia, and her fiancé was also from Africa. So she has a son that's 1 year younger than mine. All my friends have girls. So my dad was like, hey, I have a daughter the same age as you. She has a son. Maybe you guys can, you know, have a little play date and get together. So she came over to my parents' house. I came over there and we just hit it off. The kids hit it off. And so that's kind of where it happened.
Now, you heard Andrea mention Cynthia's fiance. In Omaha, Nebraska, she met a man who we'll call Emmanuel. Not long after Cynthia moved to Texas seeking better opportunities, later in 2007, Emmanuel followed her. On November 13, 2008, Cynthia and Emmanuel were married. Cynthia took the man's name, becoming Cynthia Ba-Toure. They settled down in Fort Worth. For years, they lived what was, on the surface, a good life together. Other than some issues that took Cynthia's oldest son back to Nebraska to live with his biological father. In 2018, however, Cynthia couldn't take it anymore, and she went up to Nebraska to bring her son back. Just over 2 years later, Cynthia disappeared after a troubling series of events. Cynthia Ba-Toure is a deeply religious woman. In fact, she created a podcast in 2019 called Be a Better Human, where she shared her passion for Christianity.
Welcome back to Be a Better Human podcast. And it is January 26, 2021. My last podcast of January, because next week will be February already.
So Cynthia is not afraid to put herself out there for what she believed. In fact, she's a natural, her friend Andrea told me.
There was one time, I remember, she had rented a bookstore in Fort Worth where she had did like some spoken words, like, you know, like poetry. And when I was, that was my first time ever seeing her do that. When she got on stage, I was like amazed because she could speak. She didn't look nervous. I mean, she just seemed really comfortable up there.
Cynthia practiced what she preached. When she first moved to Texas, she began working for the state's WIC program, WIC, an acronym for Women, Children, and Infants. Cynthia was a prenatal counselor and largely worked with mothers who had had premature births, and the babies themselves, of course. She began making special baby baskets for those she serviced. They included diapers, basic necessities, and little caps that she knitted herself. The cost of these baskets came out of her own pocket. Not long before she disappeared, Cynthia sought to create a nonprofit so she could make and deliver these baby baskets to as many mothers in need as possible. Her close friend Brandy told me about that.
She would go to these hospitals and she would give these beautiful baskets to new moms, new parents, baby stuff that was so nice. I thought it was great. So I had bought a box of diapers and shipped it to her as my way of helping her to get that off the ground.
Cynthia was a thoughtful friend.
Just out the blue, she would send me friendship appreciation cards where she would write in there how she appreciates our friendship and how she cherishes our friendship. She was just a thoughtful person. And I've definitely never had a friend like her that didn't mind saying how she appreciated our friendship.
Andrea, too, remembered Cynthia's attentive and thoughtful friendship.
She was definitely fun. She really loved her kids. She always enjoyed, like, having meetups at her house, you know, with different girls, and we all getting together. She would always have little, you know, outings at her house and want us to bring the kids. She liked to do, like, Bible trivia, and then at the end, everyone would get a gift. You know, you wouldn't leave the house empty-handed.
Besides Cynthia's son from a previous relationship, she and Emmanuel also had a son together. But by 2020, their relationship had become strained. Emmanuel couldn't handle Cynthia's oldest son, who was going through teenage stuff, and Cynthia found out her husband was having an affair. Though she was willing to forgive him and repair the marriage, Emmanuel wanted to go through with a divorce and move on. Because Emmanuel wanted to keep full custody of he and Cynthia's boy, the divorce proceedings became contentious. But according to her friends, Cynthia was keeping her spirits up while she fought for custody, or at least joint custody. It wasn't easy. Cynthia and her oldest son had moved into their own place in Crowley, just south of Fort Worth. She was balancing being a single mother, working, and researching how to be her own lawyer, since she was having to save up to get one. Apparently, Cynthia's husband kept a tight grip on the couple's finances. Emmanuel was reportedly highly successful and well-paid, but apparently withholding funds Cynthia might have been able to use for an attorney. Cynthia held her own in court. Even without an attorney at first, she was giving Emmanuel's representation a formidable challenge. She was finally able to hire a lawyer. On the first week of February 2021, Cynthia and Emmanuel were due back in court for another divorce proceeding. Tragically, 39-year-old Cynthia Ba-Toure would not make it. At 10:35 p.m. on Wednesday, February 3, 2021, at a Shell gas station / convenience store in Grandview, Texas, Cynthia Ba-Toure was caught on surveillance cameras. Grandview is a small town about 35 miles from the heart of downtown Fort Worth and a straight shot down Interstate 35. It's 26 miles from Cynthia's home in Crowley, also a straight shot down 35. The Shell station where Cynthia was seen on surveillance footage is directly off Interstate 35 on East Kreiner Street or Farm to Market Road 916 on Exit 15 in Northeast Grandview. Inside the store, her friend Brandy told me, Cynthia was crying out for help in her own way. She was apparently frustrated with the clerk there, and a small scene was made, but nothing physical and nothing that got to the point where the clerk had to call law enforcement. That morning, Brandy had an interaction with Cynthia that worried her, a conversation in which parts proved to be eerily prophetic. But their conversations later in the day ended with Brandy feeling her friend might be okay, although she was still worried.
Yeah, she called me a little bit, probably like 5 minutes after 8 o'clock, because I start work at 8 o'clock. But we have like 10 minutes that we read emails and everything. So she called me a little after 8 o'clock when I was doing the emails. And she say, hey, you know why I called you? I'm like, no. you know, why'd you call? She said, you remember that number I told you to write down? I said, yeah, I remember the number. I said, I don't remember the exact amount. I said, I think maybe you said 5 or 6 million. I said, you know what? I threw the number away because you told me it was another one of your episodes and don't worry about it. And then that's when she went into, you know, if you didn't have to worry about money, what would you want to do? I told her I would like to help families that have missing loved ones. I'd like to help. And I told her, I said, Cynthia, I said, 'cause you remember when, you know, when my daughter ran away for 3 days, I said, you know, it was a bad feeling not knowing where she was at. But I said, it was even bad feeling like I didn't have any help. And she was like, oh, you know, so you want to help people. And she said, you know, you have a big heart. I was like, yeah, I said, I do. I want to help people. And then that's when she started talking about how she was a angel in heaven and looking down, and she started crying while she was saying this, saying, you know, I'm looking down on you and I'm saying, I want to be your friend and I just want to come down. And I just want to kiss your face. And she's like, you're my safe place. And then, I don't know, time was getting on. I had to get off the phone. I said, Cynthia, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm so sorry. Carl just trying to come through. I got to get off the phone here. I said, but text me. I said, I may not be able to talk, but I could text. I said, text me. Text me and we'll continue this conversation. And she's, oh, okay. And she hung up, but she never texted me. So when I got off work, I called her and she picked up the phone. She said, let me call you back. Bye. And she hung up. And then not even like probably like a minute later, she called back and I said, are you okay? She was like, yeah. She was like, you know, you were right earlier today to hang up. I was like, no. I was like, no, I'm just, you know, it just sounds like something's not right. Like, are you okay? She was like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm like, okay. Okay. And, you know, she just, love you, girl. Bye. And that was it. And I text her like, hey, you know, said you really haven't been getting too much sleep or whatever lately. Just get some sleep. Just, you know, are you okay? You know, get some sleep. And I sent her a message saying, love you. Just get some sleep. Love you. And that was it. She didn't respond. And then that's when she was missing after that.
Cynthia had, in fact, called several of her friends that day, Andrea told me.
But the other crazy thing is all throughout that day, on February 3rd, she called so many people. I don't know why she had called so many people that day.
They were all worried about her well-being. Andrea was working when Cynthia called her, and she missed it. They had no idea their friend would vanish. And that's exactly what happened after she was caught on camera at the Shell gas station in Grandview, getting in her car and leaving. For reasons I don't feel comfortable disclosing, Cynthia was not reported missing immediately. After several days, however, the worry became too much and a report was made with the Crowley Police Department. On news reports and social media released on February 11, 2021, Cynthia is described as a 5 feet 6 inch tall black female who weighs about 160 pounds. Her hair is black and eyes brown. Cynthia has no known visible markings, such as tattoos or scars. She was last seen wearing black pants, a blue long-sleeved shirt, white and gray shoes, and carrying a red plaid purse. Cynthia's car is a Mazda CX-5, which is a compact SUV. It's metallic blue in color. This vehicle, however, unlike Cynthia, was found. At some point between February 11th and February 15th, 2021, 39-year-old Cynthia Ba-Toure's metallic blue Mazda CX-5 was found abandoned at mile marker 335 off Interstate 35. That's way down in Waco, Texas, which is about 81 miles from her home in Crowley and about 55 miles from Grandview, where Cynthia was captured on surveillance footage. The vehicle was impounded in Waco, and it's unknown if there were any clues left behind that might indicate what happened to her. Cynthia is considered endangered missing. Her visit to Grandview, where she is last known for a fact to have been seen, is worrisome to family and friends. They do not know what she was doing there. As far as they know, Cynthia knew no one in Grandview. But there has been talk. One rumor claimed that Cynthia was lured to somewhere and sex trafficked, but that scenario seemed far-fetched to friends. But one rumor involved the nonprofit Cynthia Ba-Toure sought to get off the ground. It made a little more sense to the missing woman's friends. Cynthia had been in talks with a man about starting the baby basket making business, and this rumor claimed that she was to meet the man somewhere unknown to speak about it the night she disappeared. This rumor included Cynthia being caught on video footage at an IHOP, which is a pancake restaurant chain for those of y'all who don't know. Whether the said IHOP is in Grandview, Waco, or somewhere in between is unclear, and Crowley police have said that the information, at least Cynthia being on surveillance footage, is simply not true. Another iteration of the rumor has Cynthia meeting the man, or men, at a hotel to discuss the business.
After 10 o'clock, nobody could reach her. She stopped calling people, stopped taking calls.
It was around 10 p.m. on February 3rd, 2021, that Cynthia stopped calling and texting her friends, just before she was seen at the Grandview Shell gas station. At some point after they found out she was missing, her friends and family were made aware of other details in the mother's disappearance.
I know she left the gas station. That's when she accidentally, from what we were told, actually got in my car. The guy comes out, hey, get out of my car. I was told she said to him, sorry, I'm having mental problems right now. She got out the car, got in her car and left. And that's when he realized she had dropped her phone in the car. That was one of the stories we were told about how her phone was found. The other part that we were told was the guy got all the way home. He's taken groceries out of his car, sees the phone, calls the police. Another part we don't know is, did he go back to the gas station? Did he meet the police back at the gas station? Or did the police go to his house to get the phone? That's another part that, you know, we don't know what happened to us. We don't know what happened as well with that part. But we do know somehow the police got our phones.
These differing accounts, if there were indeed differing accounts, are troubling. And if Cynthia was who drove her vehicle to Waco, it is equally as troubling that she didn't have her cell phone. If she'd had it, perhaps, she could have called for help. Crowley police investigators have not released any information they might have gleaned by the discovery of Cynthia's cell phone, if they found anything at all. Also unclear is whether or not the department suspects foul play in the disappearance. The lack of information out there about Cynthia's disappearance is frustrating, much like the lack of sufficient research and statistics available for missing adults. According to the National Missing and Unidentified Persons Database, or NAMIS, more than 600,000 people go missing every year. The state of Texas accounts for around 50,000 of those missing people every year, according to the Texas Center for the Missing, the majority of which are children. Those numbers are certainly unnerving, to put it lightly, but between 89 and 92% of those missing persons' cases are resolved within a year. The missing person found alive, luckily, is far more common than the worst-case scenario. The individual found deceased. The categories for missing children in Texas are fairly well researched and clear-cut as far as the cause of the disappearance. A vast majority are runaways, 80 to 85%, 10 to 15% are family abductions, 3 to 4% are non-family abductions, and less than 1% of missing children are the result of stranger abductions. When it comes to missing adults, however, the data is a little more fuzzy, if not virtually non-existent. Like children who run away, most adults are said to have gone missing of their own volition. That is, they purposefully up and vanished. Perhaps to escape abuse, or sometimes leave their life behind entirely for a myriad of reasons. Many, too, are the victims of accidents. A small portion of missing adults are victims of foul play, including abduction, domestic violence, human trafficking, and murder. Mental health crises as the result of untreated conditions such as bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, too, can be a reason for an adult's disappearance. But even for those living with a mental health condition, that diagnosed condition might not necessarily be the cause, and might instead be a factor that only further confuses a missing person's investigation. It's a factor that certainly makes the individual more vulnerable. There is virtually no clear data concerning the percentage of adults who go missing, and even a 2019 congressional research study didn't shed any more light on that specific topic. Solid statistics are elusive. Regardless, to the friends and family of missing 39-year-old Cynthia Ba-Toure, it is unfathomable to think that her disappearance was a purposeful act on her part. It is perfectly clear to her friends and family that Cynthia would have never left her children. But after 5 months, how long Cynthia has been missing at the time of this recording, virtually nothing is known about what happened to her. Her mother has set up a GoFundMe page, which we'll provide a link to in the show notes. She hopes to raise money for a private investigator and an attorney to help her find out what happened to her daughter, the mother of her grandkids, who are riddled by grief and confusion. If you have any information about the disappearance of Cynthia Ba-Toure, please call the Crowley Police at 817-297-2276. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health crisis and do not have immediate access to a health professional, there are a few options for help. You can call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357. They will provide you with treatment referrals, including local facilities, support groups, and community-based organizations. You can also call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. Regardless of the name, you do not have to be experiencing suicidal thoughts to call. If you are in emotional distress, they will help. Please, if you are in a crisis or know someone who is, do not hesitate to use these resources. You can support Gone Cold at patreon.com/gonecoldpodcast. Donors at all levels there get the show ad-free, and for just $2.50, you'll have access to episodes featuring stories of mostly solved Texas crimes and the bad actors who perpetrated them, such as The Slayer Saint, and our latest there, The Tourniquet Killer Part 1, among others. Part 2 of that will be up as soon as humanly possible, just to let you patrons out there know. Thanks so much to everyone who supports us there. We could not do this without you, and we appreciate it beyond words. CBS News, OurBlackGirls.com, MSN.com, and Cynthia's GoFundMe page were used as additional sources for this episode. Thanks for listening, y'all.